Reliable socio-economic and political practices have jeopardized our society. In the face of these affairs, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, information remains the deal breaker. Foundation Radio, in its strive to remain the voice of the voiceless, has embarked on the incisive investigative reporting and analysis to reshape our society and give it a moral face. Join our reporters in the news magazine program News Extra, a one-hour news production intended to uncover striking societal concerns and demystify them. Get the deepest understanding about your economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. Foundation Radio. Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism. Foundation Radio.
Hello there. This is another edition of our weekly magazine program, News Extra, on Foundation Radio FM 100. In News Extra, you have news, interviews, commentaries, and analysis. Christopher Fogwe, Lanzo Vela, Priscilla Ninge, and Sandra Fomujang shall be presenting papers on news happenings during the week ending. Tendong Julius is there for technical supervision. Anchoring, I am Mokon Johnny Nelson. Stay tuned. Can anything good come from the Bamenda City Council? On more than one write-ups on this program, we have expressed huge doubts, even lamenting that Bamenda may not have been lucky to have a government delegate worth the name and sort. We were even tempted to at one point suggest to President Paul Biya that, since Sons of the Soil have not met the aspirations of their kin and kith, he should go ahead and appoint an outsider to this position. But the recent strike by the city traders and its handling by some city council authorities may force us to take a short step behind. Our government delegate, Vincent Jindumu, is indicted by most city dwellers as not being proactive, not people-friendly, nonchalant, and at worst, arrogant. By some coincidence, fate or design, he was absent when his traders took to his dirty streets. Something is spoiled. Fix someone, the common man will say. Put it that you cannot have omelets without breaking eggs. And so, in their desperation, the striking vendors discovered a new face and attitude in the person of the Secretary General of the Bamenda City Council, Winding Jude Som. He was present as the traders put through their worries, went through the urgent process of negotiations, and in an unprecedented move stood out and publicly read the various resolutions arrived at by both parties to the applause and satisfaction of the traders and onlookers. Yes, this is the human face that Bamenda City Council lacks. Yes, something good can come even from within, inside the Bamenda City Council. After all, Bamenda is a city of peace and social justice. This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. Lem Sandra Fomujang now sets the pace, keeping you abreast with the main news events of the week. She presents News Extra Week in Retrospect.
In the region, Songa Pierre René, SDO for Mezam Division, was on a week tour of some administrative units and private sector endeavors within his jurisdiction of command. 35 civil servants were tried for various charges by the Northwest Regional Public Service Disciplinary Committee. Some of them abandoned their jobs in search for greener pastures abroad. A strike action by traders of Bamenda major markets forced authorities of the Bamenda City Council to suspend attempts to increase the rents of market stalls. They marched through the streets of Bamenda, calling on the sacking of the government delegate Vincent Ndumo. Out of the region, 13 direct competitive examinations have been launched to recruit 1,200 Cameroonians into the public sector by the Ministry of Public Service and Administrative Reforms. The United Nations says Cameroon has lost over 10 billion francs due to the bird flu outbreak. However, the Israeli Embassy in Cameroon and the Food and Agricultural Organization have donated laboratory equipment and other material to the government as contributions in the fight against the avian influenza. Cameroon has been ranked 17th in classification of African countries using Facebook, with more men engaged in it than women. Most precisely, youths are those who are most interested in the social media. The newly created Special Forces Unit of the Defense Forces of Cameroon will be based in Kribi. The site was visited by the Minister Delegate in Charge of Defense at the Presidency of the Republic, Joseph Betty Asomo, to evaluate the level of execution of construction works at the garrison. Justice Minister Laurent Esso has defended that the recently adopted penal code was progressive. On to obituary. Professor Tazo Acha Asonganyi, scientist, social critic, and former Secretary General of the SDF, who died on Sunday, July 3rd in Yaoundé, shall be buried on Saturday, July 23rd in his native Fontem in Lebialem Division. He will receive academic honors at the University of Yaoundé 1, where he was a lecturer. Out of Cameroon, Theresa May has taken over as British Prime Minister from David Cameron. She has named Boris Johnson as Foreign Secretary. She said she was committed to the UK leaving the European Union. Several countries like Germany, the United Kingdom, Italy, Japan, India, and Uganda are evacuating their citizens from South Sudan following days of fighting that killed hundreds of people. Gambia and Tanzania have banned child marriages, imposing tough penalties against defaulters. Protests continued across U.S. cities against the killing of black men by police. Dozens of arrests were made, but the rallies were mostly peaceful. A terrorist attack spoiled French Independence Day celebrations as at least 84 people were killed in an attack wherein a lorry drove through a packed crowd gathered for the celebrations in Nice, southern France. In sports, Portugal won the 2016 European Cup after beating host France at the Stade de France 1-0 at the 109th minute of extra play. 30 Cameroonian and 3 Equatorial Guinean referees took part in a training at the Fekafu Technical Center in Oza, Yaoundé. The training organized by Fekafu and FIFA aims at equipping the referees with the latest techniques of refereeing football. The under-20 Lions trashed their Libyan counterparts 3-0 at the last but one qualifying match for the under-20 African Football Championship to be hosted by Zambia next year. Finally, in sports, FIFA boss Gianni Infantino is expected in Nigeria, where he will meet senior association leaders from across Africa. Those were some of the major events that made news this week.
Thank you very much, Lem Sandra from Mujang. The recent demonstration by crowds of shopkeepers and outdoor vendors from the major markets in Bamenda were brought to a halt thanks to the tactful negotiation of Northwest Governor Adolphe Lele Lafrique. But did it have to come to that? Could the city council authorities not have come to terms with representatives of the merchants when it became clear that trouble loomed ahead? Christopher Fogwe has some views and airs them in the following report.
What reason was striking to say? They don't add way rentage like some 2 times. So we maintain the rentage for the 2 times. This time around, they still add the rentage again. And then they come back for the women, they sell outside for tickets. They will pay 100 francs per day. As they pay 100, they don't increase to 200 every day. And then Wednesday, 500, Saturday, 500. Where they not be able to pay other dues them. And one market toilet, they always lock them. Would you suffer under stress? You want easy yourself, you don't get place to easy yourself. You go easy yourself, you pay 25. You go stool, you pay 50. But by the end of the day, you know if you use all those things because the toilet be locked. The market will be insecure. They need to accept for do it where we want, and the other one will accept not their own. So now I raise them for strength.
Bamenda market merchants and petty vendors have bowed to the wisdom and tactful intervention of Governor Lele Lafrique, who succeeded in quelling down the street demonstrations that beset Bamenda town a few days ago. But the outcome of that commendable intervention was not conclusive, given that a battery of grievances are still to be looked into and long-lasting solutions found for them. What seems clear, though, is that in the short term, while the economic climate remains bleak and the municipality and its shabby surroundings continue to fester, the council authorities are not likely to impose any new levies on the angry market tenants. It is unfortunate that the relationship between council authorities, especially those of the city council, and local communities are not cordial, to say the least. A cat-and-mouse relationship, devoid of meaningful dialogue between municipal authorities and everyday stakeholders, is not in the character and community spirit of the Bamenda man, who, through the years, has perfected the ethos of community development and native authority to the level that could have profited all of Cameroon if it was allowed to flourish nationwide. The native authorities which preceded today's councils had a common touch which Governor Lele Lafrique appears to have mastered, and the same level of sensitivity and understanding seems to be lacking in those who serve under his jurisdiction. In case somebody gets the notion that I am confounding market matters with those of the living quarters, let me state categorically that one cannot separate them from each other. People retire from their marketplaces at the end of the day and proceed on the wretched roads back to the quarters to face the same problems of the lack of potable water, mountains of garbage, and other municipal shortcomings that make life a living hell for most who can barely make ends meet at the marketplace where they shelter themselves, some in makeshift sheds and umbrellas, and others chaff directly under the elements such as the heat of the sun and the bombarding rains. The irony is that they are still obliged to pay daily for the same square meter, or much less, which they occupy. Nobody is in the mood to live under such wretched conditions year in, year out, to operate in an economic climate in a state of stagnation or depression, and to be in the mood to be subjected to other astronomical increases in levies which have no justification except that some bureaucrat somewhere who is completely out of touch with the realities on the ground has decided that by a certain deadline, rents must be increased, irrespective of whether there are justifications for doing so. And when a number of robots have been appointed to see to it that these measures are implemented to the letter at all costs, it is easy to understand why the victims of such inconsiderations will revolt. History tells those who are willing to learn that at the core of the revolution which won independence for the Americans from Britain was the arbitrary and abusive taxations that riled up the Americans to rally under the slogan, "No taxation without representation." Any discussions about imposing taxes on a people must be preceded by meaningful dialogue and understandings. Otherwise, there will be trouble in the short or long term.
Yes, Daddy Chris. During the demonstration through the streets of Bamenda to the administrative seat of the region, the traders chanted anti-city council songs, carrying placards with similar messages, and even calling for the outright sacking and replacement of the city council delegate Vincent Jindumu, who was not present during the strike. Let's now listen to some city dwellers evaluate Vincent Jindumu's legacy at the helm of the Bamenda City Council this far.
Ndumu do na only with you every please. In a do to every please people them. Missiano. See me Ndumu one time with the town. It do na only na business. Because I know you see me no better way to work. My own wife sound we wrong me na say Ndumu all in the mood you follow around na only that market them, that shed them. We do work a bill inside town. He poured whole day for towns when the moon will get no time for. Then you wrote them where people they use and when I wrote them, where people they use and go office and the moon will even get time for even make and say they even fix them. Then the only place I say and say they even put it for fix them, I am not going to road for go for your house. Now all that's what I feel talking about now.
Wait, wait on the door because if it's this assigned contractors, me they do something, then they know the one. So you know if you blame me and you don't know it's stress too, so I'm not talk.
Yeah.
I don't know it's stress. I don't know which we plan for. There was a time the government, whether it's the delegate or who tried to like fix the roads in Bamenda to no avail. The roads are just like it has never been constructed. We don't have roads at all and we the actors, we can even say, I think we'll even relocate because when we have our cars and all those things, we cannot even move freely. We face difficulties shooting movies in town because there are no roads to even run the cars and do things smoothly. So the roads are bad. We don't have roads in Bamenda. That's all I can say for now. And I don't know what the delegate is up to, what he's having in his mind about the roads. But maybe he's having something big. We should just put our fingers crossed and see what he's going to do about it. That's all I can say for now. Thank you.
I think the government delegate of the Bamenda City Council has done a little, but a lot has still has to be done. If you look at this market, the Ntarangu market precisely, most of the sheds are empty. I think it is the effort of the government delegate to do his best to see that most of these markets are filled by traders, rather than allowing them like this and continue constructing more shed. In terms of roads, you yourself know the state of roads in Bamenda here. They are horrible. The road leading to airport, now you cannot move to airport easily. So the government delegate has to put in more effort, despite the fact that we don't have the finances. It has to give to appeal to the government to see what it can do as far as Bamenda is concerned.
Well, for now, I think with the since he entered the office, he has been trying his best by constructing a shop. That's the only thing I've seen so far. Construction shops around town, but we hope that in the nearest future, if only he will still be maintained as a government delegate by then, he should look into road issues. So by so doing, we go a long way to help and develop the city. Thank you.
I think that the current sitting government delegate of Bamenda City Council, Vincent Jindumu, has been on seat, and throughout he has actually streamlined the commercialization and the investment of the city council towards realizing the finances for the council. But what I think Vincent Jindumu should do is the issue of electrification here in town. I'm talking about street lighting at night. Bamenda is the third largest city in Cameroon, and at night it looks like we are somewhere closer to Tatum. Then secondly, we need traffic lights in Bamenda to make Bamenda a city in which we are branded a city.
That is the worst delegate I ever seen in my life. He's pretending that he's building the town, while he's destroying the town. There are people struggling to live with their family. There's no income that they are waiting on. What do you want to destroy that you are building? I cannot build and access those people. What do you expect people to do? To go and steal along the street now? To be breaking people their houses? I cannot even interview for those. You cannot even come and ask the population that, what should I do along this street to build? What should we do together? He do what he decides to do on his own. He cannot even ask the population about what to do. Let him come for a meeting and ask for the trader that, what can we do to build this town so that we can live together? But he come and destroy, go and build in his village. He pretend that he's building the town. He's destroying the town. We don't need him. The worst thing we're involved in this town. Thank you.
City dwellers, they're venting their anger. Government is for the people. We hope the city council authorities sit up because the cries are alarming. Songa Pierre René is the name of the senior divisional officer for MESAM. Since taking over from erstwhile Félix Ngelengele, promoted governor to the South Region, the new SDO may have been gauging the temperature of his apparently hot seat that MESAM is before engaging on a Meet the People tour. In less than a month, he had to confront the lawyers and the traders. The SDO was eavesdropped, saying Bamenda people loved protesting. Yes, Mr. Ezio, this is a land of peace and social justice. And trust us, the Bamenda man will not let go for any reason whatsoever. For the past week anyway, Songa Pierre René visited all seven subdivisions that made up MESAM. Priscilla Ninge was in his caravan and brought back this report.
From the beat and the feasting, it would have been likely to think that a senior divisional officer's store of the 7 subdivisions of Mezum was a one-stop shop. But that was not the case. It was more of a multi-subdivisional enthusiasm expressed in all the subdivisions to see and officially welcome their new SCO on his contact tour, beginning from Bali on Thursday, July 7, Tuba, Santa, Bamenda 3, Bamenda 2, Bafut and Bamenda 1. As wonderful and sunny as the SDO, Sanga Pierre Renee's Meet the People tour was, it wasn't all dancing and feasting. It was also a forum for all the subdivisions to present their problems to the new SDO. Though most of the subdivisions had very similar problems, most had a few in common, which the SDO in response promised to handle the ones that could be handled at the level of the division and to forward the rest to authorities for assimilation and assistance. We begin with some of the grievances of the Bafut people, whose mayor, Mayor Langsi Ebongwaso, decries the huge consumption of marijuana in the Bafut subdivision and the effects.
Apart from the sub-delegation of agriculture and rural development that has a building recently constructed by government, all the other government offices, including the office and residence of the divisional officer, the gendarmerie brigade, the police post, and all other sub-delegations operate in hired premises, even though land had been allocated for the construction of these offices. Furthermore, Bafut subdivision seems to be the only subdivision in the Northwest region without an assistant divisional officer. The issue of population figures is very preoccupying. The 1986 census put the population of Bafut at about 80,305 inhabitants. Surprisingly, the results of the 2005 census, which were released sometimes in 2011, put us at about 59,000. Even without any war or major epidemic having hit us, we can't understand how our population, instead of growing, should fall drastically. This has made us to be losing a lot, especially in terms of additional council taxes that are distributed to councils by FAICOM in function of their population figures. We wish to express our regret for the terrible things that Bafut has been noted for, that is armed banditry, rape, ritual killings and killing people and burying overnight, and so on. We wish to draw your attention to the fact that all this is as a result of high consumption of marijuana. Its consumption is no longer a hidden matter here in Bafut. Even school children are involved in their numbers. The number of young men who move naked in our streets now is on the rise. The Bafut main market is the headquarters of these delinquents who smoke and gamble there openly. We are once more making a strong appeal to you to see how you can step up the fight against this delinquent act in this municipality. If nothing is done, then we shall continue to exhume corpses of people who are dropped, killed and buried overnight.
Development being one of the major goals of every community was also one of the issues raised during this tour, with many of the people living in communities within the subdivision blaming a lack of adequate development on the greed of some royal leaders, too many people claiming royalty as well as lack of enthusiasm by the youth themselves. In this light, the president of the Bafut Development Association Center, Wala Emmanuel Ken, tells us more.
I should begin with my house first before going to my neighbor's house. We are in Santa Subdivision, which is the headquarters of the subdivision. I come from Buchi village in Santa Subdivision, which is one of the largest villages in Santa Subdivision. I think I should begin with Buchi. Buchi is a large village with over 30,000 people and then economically viable but no roads to go to the farms. So my people are suffering a lot. So the problems we are putting to the senior divisional officer are just one, unique in the sense that we want roads, farm to market roads, which will enable crops lift and enter Santa Subdivision for onward transmission to Gabon, Nigeria, Douala, because it is Santa Subdivision in general that supplies these big countries and neighboring villages in the whole Cameroon. Chances are very high. High in the sense that it's a wish that given that Santa is an enlarged subdivision, it should be upgraded to a division so that at least Bouchi can become a subdivision too, and then Awing, Akum can become a subdivision for Santa to grow, because it's too congested, and that's the reason why Santa is known to be a subdivision where so many petitions come there, because the people who are fit and ripe to be where they are supposed to be cannot be there because their elders have not been upgraded. For example, if the Santa has become a division, the second class fundums would move to first class fundums, and then third class fundum now come up, and then Santa will grow, and then the issue of chieftaincy would have been solved. And that's the funniest thing that we have in Santa. And then another problem is that of water. You imagine Santa, which is even close, surrounded by streams, we don't have water to drink. Another big problem we have in Santa here too is that of farmer grazer problem, because the administration is the one amplifying these things. Because if a square peg is put in a square hole and the right thing is given at the right time, then there will be no problem. But then they keep confusing the administration, confusing in the same for selfish interest, which is not a very good thing. So I'm calling on the senior divisional officer, whom I consider to be a square peg in a square hole, to see into these problems. And another very bad thing we are experiencing in Santa is where every elite who sleeps in the house with 1 million francs automatically wants to become a fund. And I begin to doubt if chiefdom has become mushroom or it's a heritage. That's what is disturbing us in Santa subdivision. Everybody's a chief. So the administration, I blame the administration because they are fueling it. Fueling it because they don't call a spade. Even when you look at this positioning at the grandstand, the 13 villages have 13 funds. But you see impostors who come and sit in the same line with the recognized and gazetted funds of the subdivision. And it means nothing to the administration. It means that there's something wrong.
Rounding up his tour at Bamenda 1 upstation on Friday, July 15, the mayor of Bamenda 1, Madame B. Catherine Bongwa, drew his attention to a number of issues plaguing Bamenda 1.
Administratively, the structures within this subdivision are not well housed, though organized. There's a need for pieces of land for income-generating activities. There's also need for land to construct a stadium, a grandstand, in line with the new demands of the council. There has also been the non-respect of administrative acts, asking transport agencies who are located in town and do cause urban disorder to relocate to the Bamenda 1 council area. We plead that you use your high office to cause these agencies to relocate here, as this will revamp its economy, moving it from an administrative fund to an emerging economic area. Bamenda 1 Council, in terms of decentralization and distribution of public investment budget, is not fairly treated. The amount allocated to this council has compared with other councils with large revenue generating base leaves much to be desired.
The SGO on his part has this as response, which addressed every subdivision which makes up Bamenda 1.
People of Mezam in general are well known all over our country. They are known as hard-working people, and I want to encourage you for this. But we also have to be better organized. If we are better organized, we can have some support coming from the state, maybe the council, and NGOs. We also have to spare a part of our revenue. This save will enable us to invest, building a new house, for example, buying a car, and so on and so on. I also noticed that we don't like to pay our taxes. It is very important for us to pay our taxes.
It should be noted that while on tour, the SGO also took time out to visit some touristic sites like the Bafut Palace, the famous Bafut Museum, and the Saddle Hill Ranch.
Priscilla Ninge in that roundup. Balik Awa Fidelis is the mayor of the Bamenda 2 Council. Some say he talks a lot, that he does not hold his word in his mouth. But it seems he believes in the philosophy of Matthew 7:7. Ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. And so while the SDO visited his Bamenda 2 council area, he presented a basket full of worries and demands, amongst which he asked for the creation of a Bamenda 4 council. Listen to Mayor Balik Awa Fidelis.
It is very true that the problems are there. They are there in their number, many. But we kind of selected a few, just a few today. The very first one I started with was this issue of creation of a Bamenda 4 council for this our Bamenda city. It is true, when you have children, you don't even want to give out any of those children. But I want to assure you, I am that liberal person who likes to see everybody have an opportunity. Now, Bamenda 2 council, where it is located presently, is about 4 kilometers inland into Mankon, and causes a great problem for the other fundums of Mbatu, Chomba and Songwa to be able to have access to this council. Me, I feel for those mama and those papa who really struggle for this long distance to come here. I mean, they may be thinking that, oh, mayor no like we, you don't start to talk, someone will go. I want to be very frank to say that I am trying to bring my administration nearer them, and I hope that the day it does come, let them think of me for having pleaded for government to bring that number 4 subdivisional council in this area. Now, the next one is the issue of vandalism in Bamenda 2. Vandalism is a thing which we don't want. We don't want it. But our children are forced into it. How are they forced into it? These young children, there are so many of them. Bamenda 2, for example, has a population of over 350,000 inhabitants. And therefore, you can imagine the population of the youth here. Now, Bamenda 2 or Bamenda City Council is the third largest city in Cameroon. It does not have industries. It has nothing. And so people have to survive by working very hard. These youths turn around, they cannot have employment, don't have anywhere they can go, and the only thing they involve themselves in is vandalism. And when I talk of vandalism here, I'm referring to such things like pocket picking, smoking marijuana, stealing in homes, and doing all kinds of funny things in order to survive. I'm appealing to the senior divisional officer who has just come new to know that this is a serious problem in Bamenda 2, and that he should be able to pay attention to it and then redress it. The next one is this issue of markets. Now, if you look at what is happening, the government has given the right to the city council to control the main markets in every city. I think that when government gave that reason, it was to enable these city councils to use the money accruing from this market to develop the city as well as the subdivisional councils in its jurisdiction. But you notice that the government, the city councils take this money and they don't develop per se the subdivisional councils adequately. Take, for example, Bamenda 2 Council is the largest of all the three subdivisional councils in the city of Bamenda. It has the biggest number of roads. Like you heard in the working session there with the SDO, somebody is complaining that the road from Mbatu to Chomba and Songwa, for over 10 years the city council has not passed there to do any job. I mean, the population knows and they see, why are they not doing it? When they collect money from our markets, why don't they come to open our roads too? So it's a very big problem, the issue of markets. I am appealing that government ought, since as the subdivisional councils are also developing the town as the city councils, some of this market should actually be given to the subdivisional councils so they can develop money from there to do work for all Cameroonians. So I think that it is very important. The next issue which is of paramount importance is the issue of council seats. It's also very preoccupying. The law says clearly that any subdivision or any council that has a population over 300,000 inhabitants has right to 61 council seats. Bamenda 2 has a population of 350,000 inhabitants. Why are we still left with 31 seats? Don't you see injustice being played like that? And the government thinks that the people are not seeing, they see. I think the best thing for government to do is to redress this kind of situation and make the people have confidence in the government rather than leaving the people to be crying every day, and no answer is coming. I want to appeal, therefore, that in the next election that will be coming up, the government should either decentralize or give this Bamenda 2 the number of seats it requires so that effectively the people will trust, they will love the government, and they will think that the government is thinking about them. Now, the next issue is this issue of construction of health centers. We have in Bamenda 2 a number of health centers that have been constructed with assistance from government. We thank the government. In fact, it is true that when you pick a plum from under a tree, look up and thank God for creating that plum tree. So we thank the government for what they are doing. But look at this health center in Tambak, which for now has been deserted because it is constructed in a place where thieves go there every day to steal, beat the people, carrying some things, and the government, the administration is sitting and watching. I am appealing that that health center should be made workable. That's the health center in Tambak. All security, the government should prove that individuals cannot overpower a government. A government has more power. So I want to see that health center fully functional. Security should be sent there, and government tells those criminals that are causing that problem that they can never be above all of us in this country.
Mayor Balik Awa Fidelis of the Bamenda 2 Council. Foundation Radio is the voice of the voiceless, and we let the people speak so that those who want to keep holding the population in bondage should let go such bad attitudes.
There are people who can walk away from you, and hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to walk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. I mean, hang up the phone. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left. The Bible said that they came out from us that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. People leave because they are not joined to you. And if they are not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that their part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. You've got to know when it's dead. You've got to know when it's over. Let me tell you something. I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know whatever God means for me to have, He'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding onto something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding onto past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past, and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help people who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you. Let it go. Get right, get left. Think about it and then let it go. The battle is the Lord's. Next, stop and think and appreciate God's power in your life for doing what you know is pleasing to Him. Yes, I love my God. He is my fountain of life and my Savior. He keeps me going day and night. Without Him, I am no one. But with Him, I can do everything. Christ is my strength. This is a simple test. If you love God and you are not ashamed of all the great things that He has done for you, send this to everyone you know. God loves you and watches over you every day.
You are listening to News Extra on Foundation Radio FM 100. I am Mokun Johnny Nelson presenting. London-based human rights group Amnesty International, in its recent report, indicted the government of Cameroon for starving and torturing Boko Haram suspects in jail. But for once, most journalists and ordinary Cameroonians have taken sides with the country's controversial spokesman and communication minister Issa Chiruma Bakari to dismiss the report that they consider biased and far from reality. Lanze Vela.
Amnesty International, in its 2016 report, has indicated that Cameroon's authorities and security forces have arbitrarily arrested hundreds of individuals accused of supporting Boko Haram, often with little or no evidence, and detained them in inhumane, often life-threatening conditions. In spite of how elaborate, falsely convincing, if at all, the report is, many opinion holders are of the idea that the report has greatly blown things out of proportion. The report documents how, in cases brought to justice, detainees' rights are routinely denied, and how the use of the anti-terrorist legislation and military courts leaves them with virtually no procedural guarantees. An official of the body claimed that in seeking to protect its population from the brutality of Boko Haram, Cameroon is pursuing the right objective, but in arbitrarily arresting, torturing and subjecting people to enforced disappearances, the authorities are using the wrong means. This claim rather sounds exaggerated and to some extent faulty, for in the face of a real fatal crisis, it beats the imagination that a body like Amnesty International sounds like it wants the security of a nation to be compromised in quest for the respect of human rights, shocking enough, rights of terrorists who for long have sapped the peace of this country. When the West orchestrated untold human rights abuses in Iraq, Libya and others, Amnesty International's whistle was not sounded, but when little or nothing of such vice is done in Cameroon, its trumpet is heavily sounded. It is true that Cameroon has got its own human rights lacunae, especially at the level of prison detention conditions, weaknesses which have not been pointed out only by international bodies but by its very own National Commission on Human Rights and Freedoms, and so it looks like Amnesty International is taking advantage of these weaknesses to further sully the country's image in this light. This really puts to question what its true intentions are. To stall Cameroon's efforts in winning the war against terrorism or helping it expedite victory against this malicious terrorist sect. We fear the former might just be their interest.
Yes, Lanza Vela, in any case, if the report is true, two wrongs will not make a right. Teenage girls were the focus of this year's World Population Day. Lem Sandra Fomujang, in the next paper, worries about the vulnerability of most of them who drop out of school, are forced into early sex and marriages with near impunity from the authorities.
Cameroon joins the rest of the world in celebrating World Population Day, commemorated every July 11th. The United Nations initiated such a day so that international communities will focus on the urgency and importance of population issues. With this year's theme being investing in teenage girls, it is no doubt that most teenage girls go through a lot of hardships. Looking at our country, Cameroon, and especially in most of our local communities, many of these girls who range between ages 11 to 19 are considered by these communities to be ready for marriage and motherhood. The Minister of Economy, Planning and Regional Development, Louis Paul Motaze, thus chose to launch activities in Goundere in the Adamawa region, which is strictly a Muslim community wherein these characteristics are much more common. A lot of traditional and cultural beliefs are responsible for these setbacks on the teenage girls. More reason we can't completely blame the government when most of these girls are lacking socially, educationally, economically, and otherwise. On the other hand, too, even among girls who stay in school, access to basic information about their health, human rights, and reproduction rights can be hard to come by, thus leaving them vulnerable to illness, injury, and all forms of exploitation. These challenges are much more common among marginalized girls, such as members of very low social background, those living in poverty or remote areas, especially in most of our Cameroonian villages and even in some parts of our towns. Yet, when teenage girls are empowered, when they know their rights and are given the tools to succeed, they become agents of positive change in their communities. When the spirit of naivety leaves the teenage girls, they will stand up to their parents who are so glued to primitive beliefs and make them understand that as girls, they have a very great role to play in developing their communities and their country as a whole. This is where the government must also come in to create programs aimed at ending child marriage, curb adolescent pregnancy, and empower girls to make good choices about their health and lives. Moreover, the government and authorities must focus on and stand up for human rights of the most marginalized teenage girls, particularly those who are poor, out of school, exploited, or subjected to harmful traditional practices, including child marriage. Marginalized girls are vulnerable to poor reproductive health and more likely to become mothers while still children themselves. They thus have the right to understand and control their own bodies and shape their own lives.
All Interiors Empowerment, Lem Sandra Fomujang. Of late, it would seem that each day one wakes up to the shock of one bad news or the other. From practically all regions of this global village, individual and organized terrorist attacks and networks are settling scores of various sorts by killing people indiscriminately. America and France are the latest targets. Christopher Fogwe is baffled as to the reasons for such ruthless attitudes.
Anybody who follows the news these days is left with the uneasy feeling that there is unrest everywhere. Even here in town, we have had our noble lawyers and market merchants on the march to demonstrate their distress over a wide variety of burning issues. Early this year, Cameroon was singled out by reliable international monitors of the terrorist activities across the world as one of the most malignant terrorist flashpoints on earth, thanks, of course, to Boko Haram. Within the last 2 months, terrorists and irate activists have wreaked havoc in practically all the continents of the globe. Of late, the United States and France have been the hardest hit, not so much in terms of the number of lives lost, But in terms of the widespread shock experienced by their societies, and worse still, by the expectation that the worst is still to come if measures are not taken to redress festering grievances by minority racial groups that have been either ignored or exacerbated for too long. The chickens are coming home to roost from the exploitative and racist activities of the French in their former colonies and with immigrants from them. Even though the Americans have come a long way from the Jim Crow days of the 60s, when blacks were treated worse than some house animals, killed at will and with total impunity from law enforcement officials, things have since improved to a point where adherence to their institutions, most especially their celebrated American Constitution, which vouches for equal opportunity, equality under the law, and ensures good governance, and even created the enabling environment for a black man to be elected president of their country, there are still nonetheless retrograde racist operators, such as racist trigger-happy police, who continue to wreak havoc on blacks, kill them recklessly and rampantly, and are set free by racist, complicit judges and juries. The recent horrific incidents in Dallas, Texas, where an irate black man felt that enough was enough, and then decided to take upon himself the prerogative to settle scores for his kids by mowing down a number of policemen, killing five and wounding a lot more. Across the world, the policeman has become the yardstick for measuring the human rights stature and sensibilities of any society. Dictatorial or racist states tend to have very mean policemen. America is not a dictatorship, yet its police are very mean because they are racist and treat blacks in a mean and brutal manner and have done so for long. The French police have been characteristically mean with the immigrants from their former colonies, have treated them shabbily, have left them unemployed and dejected, have discriminated against them in many ways, and anger has been building in them for decades of injustice, which is why terrorists now continue to attack them from one city to the other and may continue to do so for quite some time.
The decree is for no reason whatsoever should terrorism be justified. Lem Sandra Fomujang had the keys to our mailbox and shall be reading the letters we received from some of you out there after this transition. Augustine Puoge of My 3S Ben Quen has a proposal in this, our first letter, on how to manage our roads.
Dear News Extra, we have raised this issue of road boards and proposed that the boards should have the responsibility to propose, construct and manage toll gates so as to be able to improve, maintain our regional roads. In God's name, how come that boys are filling the countless potholes in a town like Bamenda in this century with earth? This is very serious. That way, do we expect any magic by 2035?
Maricol Tibui, writing from behind chair, has this concern with our civil service and its workers.
Hello News Extra. I write to talk about this issue of competitive and direct examinations being launched into the public sector. The Ministry of Public Reform stocks of 1,200 Cameroonians needed, and I wonder how many will actually get their admissions on merit, talk less of those who will actually devote their services. Recently, in the Northwest region, some civil servants faced disciplinary sanctions for boycotting their duties and going abroad for greener pastures. My question is, when will all this come to an end?
The last letter comes from Terence Nde of Nitor 5, and he is here to master the role and importance of the social media.
Greetings to you all. I have not stopped being amused with the classification that Cameroon is the 17th African country using Facebook. What is the essence of such classification and what impact does it have? Is it the fact that people just post anything they want on social media that is significant, or is it actually the impact the social media has on Cameroonians that matter? That has been my worry, and I really do need an answer.
Keep your letters coming on our email, radio.foundation@yahoo.com, radio.foundation@yahoo.com. You can call us, you can text us on the number 672-533-3990 or 695-568480. Priscilla Ninge has our weekly press review.
It may not have been a newsworthy week as the same stories ran through the main publications of the week. The Rambler, just like the Guardian Post, carried the story of a United Nations ruling that jailed former Secretary General at the President of the Republic, Marafa Hamidou Yaya, be freed. And there has been no consensus in public opinion since the Guardian Post of Thursday, July 14, screamed that SDF Chairman Nijan Frunzi was set to endorse Joshua Osi as SDF candidate for subsequent presidential elections. McDonald Ayeng writes that a lobby by a group of wise men within the party was negotiating the deal. But other party sources have refuted any such lobby. They argue that even if Joshua Osi has to be endorsed, it must respect the constitution of the party. One may say it is more chop for Oko people going by the atmosphere of joy and ecstasy that gripped the village. This follows the appointment of one of theirs, Ken Wilfred, to the permanent secretariat of the Prime Minister's office. The Guardian Post of July 14 narrates how the Oko youths spontaneously took to the streets to thank Paul Biya. And this human interest story, carried by the Eating newspaper, of a Cameroonian lady who gave birth to a baby girl after being rescued in the Mediterranean Sea. She was amongst 4,500 migrants picked up by Italian rescue workers aiming for greener pastures in Europe. The baby was named Manmela after the midwife who assisted her. We conclude with this on the king of football, Pele. At 25, the legendary Brazilian marries for a third time. Pele has just wedded to 50-year-old Amasa Gibril. This and more you can read in the Guardian Post of Thursday, who says love is blind. Next week, for what the papers who have reported the past week.
Lanza Vela now presents our weekly scoreboard of people and or events that made Oma during the week.
In our down score, we have the Bamenda City Council. The recent strike action by traders in markets of Bamenda once again brought to the fore the fact that the city council has failed in running its own affairs. It's totally shocking to get that rents paid for shirts in the Bamenda main market experienced a galloping inflation from 10,000 to 25,000 francs to be precise, with no concrete justification stated for such a seemingly cruel decision. The mass protest against this hike in rents has added to the umpteenth vices committed by those at the top of the city council administration, and for that we score the Bamenda City Council extremely low. On our top score for this week features the Justice and Peace Commission of the Catholic Church in Cameroon. It has been very diligent and relentless in its fight against human trafficking in the country. It recently scored very high as, together with forces of law and order, they were able to intercept and bring to justice some two men based in Kumbo and involved in this illegal business. We score the Justice and Peace Commission extremely high for this lofty feat.
And on that, we turn off the lights on this edition of News Extra on Foundation Radio. Same time, same day next week. Remember, greatness is not measured by what you accomplish, but by the opposition you have to overcome to reach your goals. I am Mokun Johnny Nelson. Accept my blessed regards.